Scripture reading comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 13. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good.
I wanted to give McKinley a challenging verse to read today. So I want to direct our thoughts from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 this morning. And I will tell you why, kind of the background of this, why I came up with this thought. I look through my Facebook feed and just to see what people are up to, what they're needing. A lot of my friends put prayer requests and things like that out there. But along with that, there's a goodly amount of worldly humor that gets put out there. And one of the things I've been seeing this past week is a lot of videos about Valentine's Day and married couples. And it'll go kind of along the lines of this. Valentine's Day, the first year of marriage. And they show this couple madly in love and doing things that they know each one will like, and flowers, dinner, what have you. I mean, it's a big elaborate thing. Okay, then they'll show 3 years, 4 years, and there's kids, and the husband will come in and give the wife a peck on the cheek, and here's your card, and there'll be some things. Maybe she'll make a meal, but it's not as elaborate. And then they'll show 10 years of marriage. And the guy says, oh, was that today? The work just seems to decrease in every year of marriage for that day. And I'm sure that that's the case in some marriages, and other marriages maybe not so much. But I think there's a parallel to that in our work in the church. There are times when we come out of the baptistry alive for Christ, and we're willing to do so much work, and we're on fire for Him because of what He's done for us. We have a deep gratitude for Him. But then, as time goes on, maybe our gratitude is not as strong, and maybe our thinking about that, well, that's not as important, or we can let that slide, and maybe we're not as engaged with things. I kind of like looking at it, we're losing our first love, if we will. There's a congregation that lost its first love that was encouraged to go back. So this isn't to beat up on anybody, but it's a reminder that you still need to be in love with Christ. And you still need to be doing the work. Work kind of gets put down a lot in our society. But if it's not for people doing the work, things don't get done. So Phyllis this morning, she pulls up with Art in the car, and Art dutifully lets her out of the car under the carport. What a guy. Still got that marriage thing going there, right? And, I'm out there doing some shoveling, and Art parks his car and comes up and says, you don't even have gloves on. Let me do some of that. And so Art is out there. And then as time goes on, he's working out there, and Mickey shows up, and he starts working on things, right? If I go down too many, there'll be too many names. Let's just say it this way. Lots of people worked on the parking lot this morning, okay? Shoveling and spreading salt. Hopefully that will make it safe for us to leave today, okay? It made it safe for us to come in today. That work is appreciated. That work is important, okay? Especially to those who are over 70 who might have a bad hip, right? You don't want anybody falling and getting hurt. Well, work is essential for us in the church. And sometimes we get tired of doing that work. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 for a minute. And this is a discussion that the apostle is having about his work in the Lord. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, and not according to the tradition which you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. For as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him, so that he will be put to shame. Yet, do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So this church had listened to the commandments, listened to the gospel, had understood that they needed to give their life to Christ. And there were a number of them in this church that had obeyed the gospel, and then they were just sitting around waiting for Jesus to come. They weren't doing the work that the congregation needed. They weren't spreading the gospel. They weren't helping one another. A matter of fact, they went to busybody mode. You know what a busybody is? Somebody who invades on your space and wants to find out all about what's going on in your life so they can go gossip about it someplace else, or give you advice about things that you didn't really want, right? They're busybodies. They're not accomplishing anything good. And so this church had an issue. Thessalonica was a relatively new congregation when Paul wrote the letter. And the problems that they had, he was trying to address. The biggest one was they really thought that Jesus was coming the next week, so to speak, okay? The imminent return of Christ. And because of that, they acted in a way that wasn't according to Scripture. He told them to withdraw from those who were being disorderly. Now, that doesn't mean that they started the process to throw that person out of the church, to excommunicate someone. If we get down to verse 15, he says, don't treat them as an enemy, regard them as a brother. It means that through some discipline, we hope to restore this person back to the right viewpoint. So, there might have been other brethren, though, that were doing the work in that congregation and were working hard and were trying to do what was right. And they might have gotten tired. Tired of, well, Brother Joe, Joe Bob, he's not doing anything. Sister Philomena, she just shows up every once in a while. Why do I bother? Have you ever heard of somebody in the church get discouraged because they feel like they're the only ones that are doing the work? Why do I bother? You know, I think that's something that happens to us sometimes when we're tired. Why do I bother? I'm not appreciated. Why do I bother? I'm the only one. Wasn't it Elijah who thought he was the only one in Israel that was serving? Who asked the question, why do I bother? I'm the only one. Well, that's not what Paul encourages us to do in this passage. I mean, he says it was our right when we were there, when we were preaching. We could have gotten paid for what we were doing. It was our right, but we didn't exercise those rights because we didn't want anybody to have an excuse about what we were preaching. That means other congregations were giving money to support them, to help them out, while the Thessalonians got the blessing of their work. So he's basically encouraging them to get back to work. And those who are asking, why do I bother, to get back to work. There's a reason why you bother. Let's look at a few of those ideas this morning. The first reason that we bother is we know that there's a reward coming. We ought not to be weary in well-doing. It's an essential or intrinsic reward that we get from doing the work. When we do good things, they are in and of themselves a reward. Have you ever seen somebody who has a problem and they help somebody else out? If you forget about their problems for a while and they feel good because they were able to help someone else? Have you ever seen somebody say, you know what? I hope that my work in their life helped them step closer to God today. Do we think like that? You know, Paul had a thought over in 1 Corinthians 9:8. Let's turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. I am not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? You know what? 1 Corinthians 9:18. Got to check my eyes there. All right. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel? It was his desire to be able to preach the gospel, and it was not his desire to charge for it. Now, yes, he got gifts from other congregations. They helped him out. This is the same man who said that he had learned to be content in little and much, right? He wasn't doing it for the money. He didn't have a Rolex on his arm, right? He didn't drive up in the fanciest car. There's nothing wrong with those things, but that's not what the motivation was, all right? So his thoughts were to do the work, even though it was his right. Over in John 3:13-17, Scripture says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Right? So, if you know what Christ wants you to do, and you know that these are things that are going to help others and help yourself, be happy to do those works. Consider the parable of the wise and foolish man over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Therefore, whatsoever heareth these things of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. You know, the wise guy, he built his house on the rock. Well, when we don't grow weary, we're building our house on a rock. Now, you know, yesterday, Anthony got to understand about the foolish man, right? He understood, don't be provoked by a foolish man, right? Who was the foolish man? It was your brother, right? Okay. So he understood that yesterday. And the foolish man can provoke us to do things that we ought not to do. And one of the things that we do when we're foolish is say, why do I bother? All right? It's rewarding to do the work of the Lord. There's also an eternal reward. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Don't worry if somebody's persecuting you for doing the work. You're going to heaven. That's the thing that you need to look at. That's the big picture. Colossians 3:24, knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We serve God. We serve Jesus. We get that opportunity. Okay? It's not a burden. It's a joy. And we get a reward for that. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you believe that God is going to reward you? That Jesus is going to reward you for your work here? You have to have faith in that. Revelations 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. We're going to be rewarded for our work. I was reading yesterday about the great cook Lydia Bastianich. We like to watch cooking shows on weekends sometimes. And apparently she owned several restaurants. And one of them was nailed a couple times for not paying the workers their pay. I don't know what was going on there. I doubt she was the one that was causing that, probably one of her managers. But workers don't like it when they don't get paid, do they? They get a little grumpy about that, right? I know I would. Well, we can be rest assured to know that we are going to be rewarded for the work that we do. No, I did not say that we earn our way into heaven. Don't take that message. What I did say is the work that you do because you love the Lord will be rewarded. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's not grow weary. So we know there's a reward, but there's also a need. We need to be understanding those needs that need to be fulfilled. How many times can I say need? Okay. The Irish statesman Edmund Burke is attributed as saying, all that is necessary for the forces of evil to win in the world is for enough good men to do nothing. The Scripture tells us to shine our light. You know, that old song about let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. People need to see the light so they can turn their life the right direction. The Apostle Peter wrote, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 1 Peter 2:15. We understand that when we put the Word of God out there, when we work His will, we put to silence foolish men. And I don't know of a time more necessary for putting to silence foolish men than now. The work of the church is extremely important. If we consider ourselves to be good people, then let's do good. Jesus said, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind to he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil, in Luke 6:35. Jesus tells us to love those people. We don't want to, but he's kind to them. Why? Because he sent his son to die on the cross. And he made a way that they can be saved as well, even though they nor we deserve it. Hebrews 13:16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We understand that to do these good, and I tell you what, let's go over to Hebrews 13:16, because I like the reading in the NASB a little bit better there. Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. It's a little clearer to me what's going on there. The world needs us to not neglect doing good. Matter of fact, the world needs us to share and for us to recognize that God recognizes those sacrifices. Sometimes we look at something that we're supposed to do that's good and we say, why bother? Okay. But the world needs us to make sacrifices, and God recognizes those things. Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We think that you have to have a lot of power to make an influence in the world. You have to be a king or a president. You have to be, I like this word, the old days they used to call it a potentate. You have to be somebody that directs men to be able to do good. Sometimes we have the idea that might makes right. You got to have a strong person to make things right. I would tell you that is not the case. The case is that we can do good and overcome evil every day. And you don't have to be a king or a potentate or a president to do that. We need to look at our work and understand it's more significant. Let's go over to 1 Peter for a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1. No. Man. Okay, let's do this again. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. There's a need for us to be different kinds of people. It's so satisfying sometimes to return evil for evil, to see the bad guy get his karma, right? We just love that. We should be more satisfied to see the bad guy turn his heart away from his evil and join the cause of Christ. We should rejoice when somebody's sins are forgiven in baptism. So there's a need out there for our work. So let's not grow weary in doing well, because when we do those things, we satisfy a great need. Thirdly, we need to be examples. When we are not weary in well-doing and we do good things, we set a good example for others. Dorcas, also called Tabitha, her testimony of her work still resonates. In Acts 9:36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Dorcas did great work. She set a fantastic example. Consider the example of the woman who anointed Jesus at the house of Simon the leper. In Mark 14:8-9, Jesus said, She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Truly I say to you, whoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of as a memorial of her. She washed Jesus' feet. She anointed them in preparation for his burial. And we still talk about it today. Was that something that a great king or a president ordered? It wasn't. It was something that was very important to her to do because she loved the Lord. She set an example for us, and her example lives today. Let's go over to 1 Timothy and look at chapter 5 and verse 25. Likewise also, deeds that are good are quite evident, and those which are otherwise cannot be concealed. Those good works cannot remain hidden. Somebody sees what you're doing. Somebody knows. They understand there's a genuine Christian. There's somebody who cares about me. And when we serve their needs, and they understand why we serve their needs, we have an opportunity. We've created one where they can hear the gospel and love of the Lord. In setting a good example, we bring glory to God. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has prepared before that we should walk in them. Psalms 86:12, I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. So we understand that there's a reward, that there's a need, and that there's an example. And I hope we understand that this applies not just to our church work, but it applies to our relationships with others. It applies to our relationship with God. Trust me, I've said more than once, man, I'd like to take a nap. Okay? You know, the three things that I really like most these days were punishments when I was a kid. Eat your vegetables, take a nap, go to bed early. Okay? Those are good things now. But when I was a kid, I didn't want to do those things, right? We need to take care of ourselves, get rest, but take our rest in the Lord and keep pursuing the good work. Keep moving forward. That's what helps us to overcome this world. This morning, if you're tired and you need encouragement from the church, guess what? That's what we're here for as well. And we would love to pray with you and help you. If you're not a Christian and you want to understand that Jesus loves you and that He has good things set out to do in your life, if you'd like to be baptized into Him and rise to walk in newness of life to fulfill that work, we would love to assist you today. Please come while we stand and sing.